Well, today we're going to continue in our sermon series entitled Navigating Life Well. And today we're going to talk about a subject that people don't like to talk about in church. And to be honest, I didn't post it on Facebook because I said some people might stay home if I post what we're talking about today. I posted about sex that we're going to speak on at one time, and there was a few people who weren't here, and I think it was strategic. So we're going to talk about money today. Right? We're Bostonians. We're from Massachusetts, from New England. You don't talk about our money. That's my money. I do what I want with my money. I spend my money where I want. It's mine, mine, mine. The preacher should never talk about how you spend your money. Now, first of all, I want to start off. You guys know I'm not a lover of money. I'm not the guy up here trying to sell you something for $99.99. I'm not trying to sell you my sweat to heal somebody in your family. Right? But there comes points that we have to talk about money. You know that Jesus preached on money more than heaven and hell? And you can't separate how a person spends and gives and uses their money from how they live for Jesus, right? A lot of times we want to say, oh, I'm following Jesus, but my money is totally separate. And we never do that in our lives. Don't we say stuff about people when the way they spend their money, oh, they're so cheap, they don't care about any way of spending money, because the way we spend our money says something about our heart. It says something about the way we think. I remember I was in the clergy meeting with the town about 18 months ago, and the town administrator came in to talk to all of us. So we all got to talk to the town administrator. And he started off, the first thing he said, church is all about money. I can't take it. He said, I went to church one day, and the pastor was up there, and he had 10 $1 bills. And he said he took one of the 10 $1 bills, and he picked him up, and he said, this is God's. He said, I was so insulted, I never went back to church. That hit me funny. That hit me funny because of who he is. He's the town administrator, and people are voting him in. What's the biggest reason people vote politicians, leaders in? How they're going to use money. So this is a guy who spends most of his life talking about money, has a problem with the church talking about money. And see, that's where we get to the point where we say, okay, every other institution, every other corporation, it's okay to talk about money. But for some reason, when we get to the church, we say, take the money out of the equation. That's not healthy. That's not wise. That's not foolish. We want to do that because we don't want the gospel to impact that part of our life, right? You can get other parts, right? You can get other parts, but don't start talking about money. But the truth is, and I'm here not to condemn anyone today. Honestly, if you never give a dime to this church, I want you here every week. I love you. That's the honest truth. You guys know me. You know my life. You know how I live. This is not condemnation at all. But part of my duty as a pastor is talk about the full scope of the gospel and the full scope of what Jesus said. And Jesus preached a lot about money. And we will be judged according to how we give on this earth. We'll be rewarded according to how we give on this earth. We can sin greatly with our money. What did Judas do? He sold out Jesus for money, right? Sometimes money can become more valuable to us than the gospel. And it's a weird thing, because with money, we can justify it in funny little ways, and it creeps in on us. But when someone looks at your checkbook, they can tell what you value. If they look at your checkbook, if they look at your debit card, they look how you spend your money, they can tell what you value. And what I want to ask you today is, does your checkbook, your debit card, the way you spend your money and budget, show that you value the gospel and you value God and all he's worth and you understand the importance of it and the intensity of the whole thing, right? Because if I go through someone's checkbook and I see, okay, they spent $15,000 to $20,000 on vacations this year. Wow, they like vacations. If they spent $15,000 to $20,000 on their education, I say, man, they must really value education. If I see that they didn't spend a dime and hoarded everything, I said, man, they must love money and they must find a lot of security in that. If you look at someone's checkbook, you can tell what they value. What I would love to be said about Restoration Road is they look at how we spend our money and it shows that we value God and the gospel because everything else is passing away. Now, we're not one of these churches saying you got to live in a cardboard house and you can't have a car and I want everyone driving bikes around town. That's foolish talk. But there comes a place when God asks us, how are you stewarding his money? See, that's our problem. We say, it's my money. I did it. I bled. I sweat. It's God's money. He gives it to us to steward it well, and He's watching how we manage His money to the glory of God. Let me give you some stats. Do you know that we're the 47th least charitable state in the country? Do you know that 45 to 50 are all New England? We just took it over. I went to the list to look, and it was 40. Oh, no, that's us. Right? Do you know how much we give to charitable giving, including to our local church in this state? It's disgusting. 2.8%. Really? That's how much you value the local church. That's how much you value those who are poor. That's how much you value those in the, us, me. Let me talk to myself right now. That's how much we value. 40% of people spend more than they make. Do you know that you shouldn't be spending more than you make? Everyone, well, don't put that thing on a credit card. It's not all right to die with $50,000 debt. Say, it ain't my problem. You're taking that money out of someone's pocket. We spend $1.5 trillion a year on credit cards. $1.5 trillion. Imagine that number was for the work of the gospel. This place would look much different. Right? $1.5 trillion. $1.5 trillion. That's me and you spent on credit cards, overspending beyond we have. Now, I don't want to judge you if I have a credit card. That's your business. I don't personally have one. Because if I don't have loot, I'm not spending it. That's just how I roll. If you have a credit card, that's not sin. I'm not saying that. But I would say steward that well. 90% of all divorces, arguments over money. It's the number one problem in marriages is about money. I almost got a few amens on that one. Recently, more Americans declared bankruptcy than graduated from college. And the reason I'm showing you all these stats is because the whole point of the series, you have to be wise. And I could say our culture, we have a problem with money. We have a problem with the love of it. We have a problem with the stewardship of money. In the year 2000, you know how many people stopped giving to the local church anything? What's the percentage? What would you guess? 44% of people stopped giving to the local church at all. Can you imagine that? Almost half people said, I'm not giving to the church anymore. I'm not giving to God's mission. I'm not giving to God. 44%. Only 1 out of 8 people could be categorized as grace givers, as people who gave generously. Is that amazing? The reason I'm bringing this up is because we're a young church. We're a baby, man. We're a baby. We just started. But part of the thing we need to do to be healthy is we got to learn how to navigate money well. And I say this with, I'm thankful for every dime everyone gives to the church. I've literally seen a dime in there. I've seen a tool receipt. I've seen a lot of things in the offering box. Right? But part of us being healthy, part of us changing this area, and the number one thing they say that changes the nations is the gospel. The gospel changes it. So we have to give to that work. So today is not so much about how to manage a budget, even those things are important. It's not so much about don't spend frivolously. I encourage you not to do that. Today is, I want to start is, start at, where should you give your money first? What should you value most? Because I believe the scriptures tell you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I think if you have, how you're generous with your money, you have that set aside, I can guarantee you 110% God takes care of the rest of your life. So if we can get that done first, the rest of budgeting and spending well and not overspending and not living beyond your means is going to take care of itself. So we're going to start right there. But it has to do with what we value most. We invest in what we value, right? If you value education, you invest in it. If you value pleasure and comfort, you'll invest in it. If you value your house, you'll invest in it. If you value God, you'll invest in it. Our culture has a real problem with overvaluing the wrong things and devaluing the right things. My father has been great for a couple of things. One is have great sermon illustrations on how to do stuff. And I love my father. I honor him. But he was, I told everyone, for about 25, 30 years, he never supported me and my family. Me and my mom, my sister. He just said, I'm not supporting. I'm not paying child support. When he was able to give, and I'm just going to tell you the depth of this so you feel the weight of it. When he was able to say, okay, my stepfather can take over, as long as he didn't have to pay child support, he was okay with that. Never saw a dime. I'm still uncomfortable. I don't know if my father's ever given me a dime. I probably have to work through something in my heart of taking money from him because I feel like he totally drop the ball there. A father's the primary thing is to provide for his children. It just is. So after he came out, he was doing better. He wasn't addicted anymore. I think to his degree, I think still, I don't know his definition of addiction. It's a little different than mine. But I'm on the phone with him. We got contact. Finally see him in my early 20s. He calls me. He says, Joey, I got my life back together. He said, now I'm going to buy a Cadillac. What? You're buying a Cadillac? You didn't support your family. You didn't give a dime. You have grandchildren. That's what you came out of that fog saying? You're going to buy a Cadillac? Imagine that. Standing on the side, your dad's driving a Cadillac, never spent a penny on you. Know what happens right there? You're overvaluing the wrong thing, and you're devaluing the right thing. That's what happened in our culture. And what we are saying with our money is we are devaluing God and the gospel and the importance of it as primary, and we're overvaluing all things, cars, money, house, education, all those things we're overvaluing. They're not in their right place. And I'm going to preach strong to you today because it's a strong message. It's important. You still love me. But this is so true. We don't think, and I think part of it is we think church is about ourselves. I really do. I think we think church is about us. Now, I'm not saying we don't get benefits from church. I love church. I feel strong after church. I feel built in my faith. I feel refreshed. But the mission of God is not primarily about us. It's about God and His glory. It's about God miraculously saving people, rescuing people for His glory. So in eternity, there'd be a bunch of people saying it was by His grace alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone, that changed all of us so He's our King alone. See, we come here and we say it's all about ourselves. And if it's all about yourself, you know what you say? You know what? There's plenty of self-help books out there, right? There's plenty of TV shows I can watch. There's plenty of preachers on TV. It's not that important. I don't have to give to it, right? But if we realize the value of the local church, then we will say, listen, I need to give to God and His mission. Now, Jesus confronted a lot of people on their money. And there was a rich young ruler. I want you to hear the background on this rich young ruler. He's a young dude, has so much loot you couldn't imagine, possessions. But this is the twist. Loves God, asks Jesus questions about how do I serve God better. And what does Jesus say to him? If you want to follow me, sell all your possessions and follow me. This isn't someone who didn't believe. This isn't someone who didn't see who Jesus was. He said, I can't do that. And he turned around and never followed Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you have to sell all your possessions. What I really want to get is not to percentages, not to amounts. I want to get to your heart and to see what the gospel is. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, and that's where you give to. That's just how it is. So we ask ourselves this question. How do I give to God? What does that mean, to give to God? So I'll define it in the Old Testament. Do you guys know the percentage that the covenant people, the church of God, gave in the Old Testament? Everyone's like 10%, man, I'm afraid, you know. 23% people gave to the covenant people of God, to God's work. They gave 10% for the pastors to support them and the priests. They gave 10% to the feasts like Passover and the celebration to celebrate God. And they gave 3% to the poor. They gave 23%. People's hearts are pumping in this place right now. I can feel it. Like mine is. They gave 23%. And you know how they define giving to God? Because this is what we do as Bostonians, right? I ain't giving to people. I ain't letting that guy spend my money. I ain't giving to people. That's a church. That's a building. I ain't giving to it. You know how they define giving to God? It was given to His mission. It was given to the house of God. It was given to putting on feasts. It was given towards giving to the poor and advancing the gospel. That's how you give to God. Let me tell you, I had a problem with this in my early 20s, and this is why I'm preaching it now. I thought I valued God, valued the gospel. I followed Jesus. I'm trying to live holy, but it never got in my pocket. I'd get that $5 bill out once in a while, and you drop that thing like going to heaven. You know, like really, I'll take a $5, did it, holy. That's how I rolled. There was no consistency. There was no, I got to do this. There's no, this has to affect my bank account. It's because I didn't understand the importance of the gospel and the importance of the local church. I didn't understand. I didn't get it. And know what I do? I was bothering God. Have you ever bothered with God? I was the lead worship guy. A few years, I said, man, I should be getting paid for this. I'm the lead worship. I'm serving. I was leading worship 3 times a week and not getting paid. I was like, I'm going to die. And I said, I shouldn't have to give money if I'm serving. That's not right. We can't bother with God. He calls us to give. So finally, I became a pastor and started realizing you need money to function the church. And that's what it took to get my heart to give. So I'm not saying some miracle. I wish it happened sooner, but I was about 27 years old. And I said, I'm not getting this when it comes to money. I'm not valuing God right. I looked in the Bible, and what bugged me out is God didn't take money lightly. Right? From the beginning, Cain brought an offering. So he brought something. So Moses said, I gave something. God should be pleased with this. God said, I'm not pleased with it. So much that Cain got jealous and killed his brother because God was more pleased with his offering. It got to the point in Malachi where God said people weren't giving to God. He said, you're robbing me. That's the language of God. I just want you guys to hear. This is what started to make me think, hold on, I'm nothing. God's saying, okay, I'm blessing your hands. I'm blessing your mind. I'm causing you to be able to make money, to be able to, you know, live well and do these things. But you're not giving to the mission of God. He said, you're robbing me. That's the language of God. I'm telling you how I started rethinking things. Then I got to the New Testament. It got even more serious. Someone lied to Apostle Peter in front of him about how much he sold land for, so he had to give less to the church. Do you guys know what happened to that dude? God struck him dead. I said, this is serious. I'm not saying any of you going down, everyone's going to be going to the bucket. Like, that is not what I'm saying. But I'm trying to, I said grace, grace, but I want you to feel the reverence of it. I want you to feel that God's not just saying, oh, your money's your money. It doesn't matter what do your money. He never said that. Money and how we steward it is an extension of our heart. And that's a huge thing that I want us to see today. So where do we invest our money? Some of us think we're great investors. Some of us think we're great with money. We really do. I would say that some of us could be acting very foolish with our money because we're investing it all in stuff here on earth. All in stuff here on earth. What did Jesus say? I want to read this to you. It says, Matthew 6:20, but lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus said, why would you invest all your money in stuff that is passing away? It's going to rust away. It's going to rot away. These things are passing away. He said, lay up treasures in heaven. Do you know that there's some mysterious, miraculous way, whatever money we give away to people, give to the mission of God, it comes back 100-fold in heaven. I'm not preaching that prosperity message, you give and you'll be rich. That ain't sound. But he said there'll be rewards, even if you don't see here on earth, there will be rewards in heaven. You know, Alfred Nobel, you know, the Nobel Prizes, all those things. He invented dynamite. He was a chemist. So he invented dynamite. He helped invent dynamite. He had a brother who was close to his age, and his brother died. But what happened is they mixed up when they wrote the obituary, and they wrote that he died. And what he got to read his own obituary. Imagine, I want you guys to put yourself in this situation right now. You pick up the paper, and it says you died. Now, everyone says what they think about you at this point, right? They're going to say, did he live a good life? Did he give generously? What did it look like? Did he value the right things? What did you like? So he asked himself this question. He looked at his obituary and said, this dude spent his whole life investing his money, his time, his energy into dynamite that kills people. The dude said, this is a nightmare. What a wasted thing. I'm not saying dynamite doesn't have good purposes. It does when you're throwing them at other people. But he looked and he said, I don't want this to be the legacy of my life. I don't want people to say, this is where I gave my money. You know what he did for the last 9 years of his life? He donated $9 million to help those in need and to advance things. And now his obituary reads something totally different, the Nobel Peace Prize. They give out awards on his behalf. His legacy is different because of how he spent his life and his money. That's what I want to see for you guys. Now, please hear me. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with even buying nice things. But we need to value the ultimate thing first. In our checkbook, in our stewardship, and the way we give needs to show that. So we come to this place. Everyone comes to this place. This one, believe it or not, this one of the major questions I'm always asked about as a pastor. How much do you say people have to give to your church, right? Talking to my Uncle Paul, he said, do they tithe at your church? What is tithe? He meant tithe. Who's tithing? What are you talking about? Is that really the first question you have about the church? Do I have to tithe? That is not the first question that you should be asking. Do you know that 10% was never meant to be the ultimate? We look at 10% like that's the ultimate. If I'm given 10%, I'm on par. That was always a starting point. That was the point that Jesus, you know, when he came with everything, he raised the bar. Whether it was lust, he said, not only are you not supposed to physically be with a woman, if you lust for a woman with your eyes, you're in sin. So he kept doing, not only are you not supposed to be angry and hurt someone, if you're angry in your heart against them, you have sinned when you get malicious. So he raised the bar on everything. Jesus did that. He did the same thing with money, but somehow we think that bar cut back. I've never heard anyone ask me about 10% because they want to give more. Ever. And I'm talking to myself today. So what I think is helpful is I'm not giving you a percentage because that's what we want. That's what we want. We want someone to tell us how much to give so we can feel, the holy man told me I could give 7%. I'm not doing that. You guys have a heart where you can make decisions before God and you can steward what God has showed you, and everyone knows in their heart how much they should be given and how much they can give. But I want to give you four things you should judge your giving by. My daughter Talia was extremely helpful in this because we were talking about giving maybe 2 months ago and she was in the back seat. And she said one of the best things you want to hear as a dad, right? She said, I said, well, this was the giving this week. And she said, Dada, can I give to the church? I've been wanting to give for so long. I said, what? My 8-year-old daughter, 9-year-old daughter just say she wants to give to the church? It blessed my heart. I don't think I'm the greatest dad in the world. I thought, wow, God's been graceful to me by moving in the heart for her to realize the value of that. And I said, yeah, Talia, that would be great if you could give. I went through some emotions, right? Because what does the world teach us we should teach our kids? You walk them to the bank, you say, you put money in there and you never take it out. Right? That's all you teach them. You come with me, you ever spend a penny, you're not a good steward. So she had $40, right? She had two $20 bills. And she said, we said, how much you want to give, Tal? She took $20 and said, I want to get $20. Once again, I said, am I being a good dad? Like, do I need to tell her, no, you don't give 20. You give 5, that's good, that's generous. Keep 15 for yourself. You need to go to Hawaii when you grow up. That's what I want us to get hold of. We're not into percentages. We're not into how much you give. You give as much as you can give. Do you know in the Old Testament, Moses, when they were building a tabernacle, it got to the point where they had to restrain people from giving. Where they went to Moses and said, Moses, we need a certain amount. The people won't stop bringing stuff to build this temple. They won't stop giving money. Moses, this is what a great thing a pastor would have to say, right? Tell them no more giving. Everyone restrained from giving. Imagine that was your pastoral thing. We got to sit this brother down. He's giving away too much money. I've never run into that conversation. Right, listen, I got to talk to you, man. Stop writing checks to this church. That's what they had to do in the Old Testament. So these are four things. We call it grace giving. We purposely put that in the back. Know why? Because I know a lot of people, and it was even tough for me because I know some people are new to church and all that kind of stuff. This is the first time we've really done a message on money. And I know in our culture, a lot of people, money's been abused in the church. I understand that. I'm not saying that hasn't happened. I agree with you. Money's been abused. It's been used for the luxury of celebrity pastors, and it's been used in abusive ways, and it's been used badly. I agree with you. But I tell you right now, we have set up parameters, and we are not that church. We're not that church. You guys see how I live modestly. I put that bucket in the back because I don't want... There's nothing worse. You come to church and people are passing a bucket around in front of you, right? You just want to hear the gospel. That gets uncomfortable. This is like a Bostonian church. We get uncomfortable. Don't put a basket in my face. I know where the barrel is. I know where the bucket is. And if I want to give, I'm going to give. So we purposely done things so you guys know this place isn't about money. We're about the glory of Jesus. But we want to steward money well. So this is what we would ask you with your giving. We call it grace giving. It says right on top of the... Well, it's up to you what you give. It always is. No legalistic demands. You're always welcome here. Whether you give much or little or in the middle, whatever it is, you're always welcome. I would say we do need to be good givers for the mission of this church. Absolutely. We're a new church. We need it. We'll need it when we're an old church. First, you got to be generous. We're called to be generous. The people of God should be the most generous people in the world. That means it should be in proportion to what you make. Actually, as I was thinking about this message this week, I've always made statements people will ask me because I always have a sensitivity towards single moms and people are struggling. That's just part of who I am in my history. So I never want someone to be given because it's hurting their children. I want a single mom given she can't get diapers or formula. We never want that stuff around here. And we don't want people to feel the guilt of that. Right? I still believe that. But God honors, if you're someone who made 10 bucks this week and you still gave to God, God honors that. God honors it. It doesn't earn your salvation. It doesn't give you more favor with God. But you are rewarded in heaven. Because I was looking at the story. Everyone heard of the widow's mite. In the widow's mite, they actually had baskets set up where everyone can go and give their money. And all the people who had a lot of money or rich were going up, and they were given a certain amount, and they were putting it in the baskets. And this whole thing's being watched. Then a widow goes up, and she's a widow. So she, back then, the husband was the provider. He's the one who gave all the money to do anything. She had 2 coins. She goes up to the basket, and she puts both coins in, to the point where it's in the gospel, and that's so God-honoring. See, God wasn't talking about percentage there. He talked about generosity that looks for rewards in heaven, that values God. Now, do you think that widow was not provided for? Do you think she was homeless next week? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Second, it should be sacrificial. It should hurt a little. How many times me and Natalie have come to the point where we're saying, well, the Verizon bill is going to have to get paid next month, but I'm not going to stop giving to God, or I'm not going to go on a vacation if that means I'm taking thousands away from the church. You know, like, we've had amazing, it takes sacrifice. Thirdly, it has to be consistent. If you're giving one every 3 years, you might have to want to look at your budget when you're giving to God. It has to be consistent. And fourth, it should be cheerful. You should be happy about it. Don't do it out of duty. You got to be happy. You get to give. It's one of my greatest gifts. I get to write checks to this church. But God did that in my heart. And so I never had anyone to model giving in my life or how to give. So I want to tell you how I give. You know, most pastors don't do that, right? But I read a book and I thought it was helpful. We need examples. We need modeling. Now, when you hear me tell me how I give, I don't want you to hear me saying you have to do it like me, but I want you to see the heart behind it, okay? Because we're not about legalistic rules, but I want you to see. I'm the biggest giver of this church. Last year, I was the biggest giver in this church. This year, I'm on pace to give roughly $10,000 to the church. Okay, that's what I give. I give roughly 15% of my income to the church. Most of my grace giving goes to the church because I realize we're a new church. I'm not going to be giving to other things that the church suffers because I know I need, this is a crucial time where I need to give. So me and Natalie give roughly 15% of the church to the church. I start there with my giving to the church. Then I give the charitable things after that. So I saw a Boston Strong sweatshirt the other day when I was in Rasta. And it was like $30. I'm like, that's a lot for a sweatshirt. But then they said some's going to the one fund. So I said, okay, I could buy the sweatshirt. Because I knew I could buy it and support a charitable cost. When there's someone in need, I'll give money above that 15%. That's what it looks like to me. I'm not saying you have to give 15%. I want you guys to see how I give. And I think it's important for the pastor to be transparent. You know, you guys know me. I don't make a ton of money. You know who I am. You know how I live. But I want you guys to hear me first, because it's nothing worse when a man gets up here and starts preaching about money and he ain't living it. When he's preaching about anything and he ain't living it, and I'm not even saying I'm an all-star. There's people out there that give 20, 23%. I'm not saying I'm an all-star. I just want you guys to see how I'm modeling before you, because that's important in growth and transparency. And you guys know what's going on. Finally, don't be cheap. When you're in a restaurant, you're still a Christian. Don't you dare break out a calculator when it comes to giving a tip. You better stop it. Or don't wear a Restoration Road tee in there when you do it, please. Do not be cheap. I'm telling you, man, I've been in business for over 10 years now. I get scared when I got called from a Christian to do work. I'm all, no, the gospel. They think the gospel means that they get me for free. I can't stand it. I've seen a woman who has nothing give me a tip when I did a job. And I've seen a man with a BMW in the driveway ask me to take money off the cost. I've seen more cheap Christians than I've seen cheap unbelievers. We need to be generous. If someone is in need, you give to them. If someone is hurting, you give to them. Be that generous person. People look at your life and they say, they're generous. They go the extra mile. You see that person with a cup or they ask you for money on the side? Give them money. Don't go through the hole. They're not going to spend it wisely. Of course they're not going to spend it wisely. They're on the side of the road with a cup. But mercy does not start with someone deserves it. That's why it's mercy. Mercy is undeserved. You give out of love of your heart. That's what it's all about. I'd love for Restoration Road just be a bunch of generous people. I once saw one of the most amazing video clips the other day. There was a guy who thought he was like going to play a prank and it was going to be funny on this homeless guy, but in a good way. He was going to give him a lottery ticket. And he says, I don't know how much is on it. He knew there was $1,000 on it. I don't have money, but you can have this lottery ticket. So they walked together to the store, and the guy who was going to tell him how much the store owner was in on it. And the store owner, he said, the homeless guy gave it and said, tell me how much is on it. He was real broken down. He said, $1,000. It took, no lie, about 3 minutes just for him to realize it was $1,000. He said, it ain't $1,000. That's crazy talk. It ain't $1,000. He said, it is. It's yours. And he stood there. And he looked at the guy who gave him and he said, I can't take this money. He said, take some back. I can't use all this. And the guy said, no, it's yours. And what happened next broke my, he said, no one's ever done anything. He just started weeping. A grown man on the street, he just started crying to the point, they're both sitting in the middle of the store, but they're both crying. He said, no one's ever had that kind of generosity towards me. I pray that we continue and grow as a people like that. The restoration place that they have to restrain us. Because we get the gospel. We understand that God is more valuable than anything on this earth. That only God will make you happy. See, people go after possessions because they think they will make you happy. We think that if I get the right car, I get the right house, I get a right vacation package, I'll be happy. Those things always leave you short. It's only God who ultimately satisfies to the point that you don't need anything and you're still happy with God. Amen? Let's value the right things. Let's pray. Let's give Luke.